Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic.
It's my pleasure to welcome James Reyes-Picknall, author of the best-selling book, Uptime, Strategies for Excellence and Maintenance Management, now in its third edition. Welcome, James.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, James.
So with all these benefits for everyone involved, where can a maintenance reliability professional start the journey in asset management? And what can they do to get that ball rolling?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is learn about asset management. Really understand it. It is not maintenance. It is not engineering. It is not a computer system. Those are the three first lessons I'll give you right now. But learn what it is. Read the standards. I'm amazed at how many people haven't spent the money to go buy the standards and read them. You know, one of the most downloaded things on our website right now is our kind of guide to the ISO standards, and people are downloading it because it gives them a very quick and easy to understand kind of view of ISO 55,000, 55,001, and 55,002. So they got to learn. That's the first thing. Then I think they have to get their act together in their own departments. You know, think of the maintenance guys. Reliability often is kind of goes hand in glove with maintenance, even though it's in my opinion got a broader scope. But fix your own house first. You know, maintenance planning needs to talk to materials management. You know, it's as simple as integrating those two business processes that happen in every company that fixes stuff. The maintainers plan their work and they decide what is needed to do that work, and they have to tell the guys that supply the parts to get the parts, and they have to tell them which parts, and then they have to go buy those parts. Yes. and supply the right ones, not the one that's cheapest, the one that was specified, but the spec has to be good in the first place. They don't do that well in many, many cases. So I think get your act together on that. So fix what's wrong in your maintenance realm. Get a little bit of credibility with your operations and production customers, if you will. And then you can start speaking about things like asset management with a little bit of authority because you've proven that you can actually make an improvement stick. Clean up your documentation and record keeping. That's often a shambles. You know, drawings that are way out of date, technical manuals, if you can find them, that are also out of date. Parts lists that are in the manuals never match the parts numbers that the manufacturer or the vendor will supply to you today. So that stuff's not being kept up to date. So clean up all of that. Your asset management's about making good decisions, and those decisions need to be informed with good, valid, up-to-date, current information and accurate information. That's often very, very lacking. And so I think that's another step that they can take. And then the last one's kind of a tough one, but you got to actually start cooperating with people. So maintenance...
So you have to coordinate your maintenance outages with operations and start to involve procurement. And
exactly. Yeah, you're all there for the same purpose when you get right down to it, and that's deliver that value that the assets were bought in the first place to deliver for your business. So start working like a team instead of separate silos, each with their own bureaucracies and ways of doing things and no information transferring through the thick walls between them. You know, break that stuff down and start working together. You know, those are things that you could do in-house. If you want to get a really good list of things that need to get fixed, get an assessment done. And although, you know, it is possible to self-assess against the standards, I know the IAM, if you're a member of it, you can get a hold of a self-assessment tool there. That's great, but I worry about people self-assessing if they don't really understand what it is they're assessing. Think of a maintainer who's been in maintenance his whole career. Does he really understand the broad scope of asset management? Will he even be able to answer those questions in that self-assessment questionnaire accurately? You know, some of them, yes, for sure, because he has the expertise, but in areas where he hasn't worked, he's going to be at a loss to answer questions. And so I'm not a huge fan of self-assessment in this area, at least not initially, until there's a level of education and understanding of asset management. So that's why I mention it first.
Yeah. And for those assessments, would you recommend a certified asset management assessor, or do we need to go that level right away?
Well, I would suggest yes. Now, of course, that may sound self-serving because I am one of them. But the exam that's produced by the World Partners in Asset Management to certify people, is not an easy one to pass. It's long, there's a lot of questions, and you really do have to have experience to answer it. You can't just study a book, go in and write it, and expect to pass it. So I think having that certification gives you a certain level of confidence that there's a minimum level of expertise and experience that's coming to the table there that's broader than just one field. So I think that is a definite advantage. Now, that's not the only certification that's out there. The IIM's got its certified programs. I don't doubt there are others around the world in different organizations. PMAC here in Canada has just started its own asset management certification program. The various standards bodies, I know of one company that I'm looking to work with that actually has a lot of training they've produced, but they actually do audits as well and can certify against the standard, but they have their own standard for training people as auditors. You don't have to use an audit and pass or fail an audit, but you can use the same process to do an assessment, figure out what's wrong, and then work on it, you know, without actually intending to get certified at that first step.
Yep, absolutely. I have to agree, the Certified Asset Management Assessor exam was not an easy one. It really did highlight the need to have experience in multiple functions, different industries, and have a full understanding of not just maintenance reliability.
Absolutely. I know, like I wrote it, I passed it the first time, but to be honest, I realized as I was writing it that, holy cow, there's actually quite a bit here I need to learn more about. And this is coming from a guy who at the time had about 38 years of experience under his belt.
I walked away from that exam doing the exact same thing. I need to focus on these couple areas, although I did pass. The need to continue to educate yourself is critical in the field of asset management.
It really is, yeah.
We know what to do and where to start our journey, but maintenance reliability professionals can't implement an asset management program on their own.
Not a chance.
So how do we start that asset management program? We talked about establishing the credibility and then slowly introducing that.
Yeah.
But in an organization, is it a cross-functional group that comes together to do that? Do they use the existing structure? What's the best way to go about that?
Well, I don't know that there is one best way, and the standards are actually written to be quite generic so that it doesn't imply a single best way. And that's intentional because every organization is a little bit different and they all do different things for different reasons. You're quite right. Maintainers, engineers can't lead this on their own. It is cross-functional. It is multidisciplinary. It's going to cross functional boundaries or silos in an organization. You know, we've already talked about planning and materials management. What about engineering and maintenance? There's one. what about engineering, maintenance, materials, and finance? You know, think of the thread that goes through those four. You know, they all need to work together. So this needs to be an organizational change, not so much in terms of how the org structure looks. I don't believe you need to change how you're structured to do this effectively, but you need to change how you work. And that implies different processes, different behaviors, different levels of collaboration, less siloed thinking, different performance measures. You know, I think of stores being responsible for inventory turns and investment in inventory sitting on the shelf, maintenance responsible for reliability of an in-service asset. But doesn't the spares availability impact on the actual reliability and availability of the asset to perform? Doesn't the design impact on that? So you know, a difference in the way people are measured and their performance is monitored, I think, is important. So it's got to be cross-functional, multidisciplinary, for sure. Does it need its own organization? I think it does need a process leader, at a very senior level.
So a VP of asset management, senior vice president of asset management, something up that high in the organization?
Absolutely. Somebody who can talk to the whoever's responsible for engineering and whoever's responsible for operations as a peer. So, you know, you've got a COO, you've got somebody somewhere, probably a chief technical officer responsible for engineering and those support or that upfront design type activity. You need somebody at that sort of level that can work with those individuals to break down the barriers that are bound to be there in departments as you work your way down through an organization. No organization is immune to having silos, and asset management, in my opinion, helps break down those walls or at least punch big windows in them and force you to work a little bit differently. So it's got to have a team approach and it's got to be multidisciplinary. It just can't be anything else.
Couldn't agree more. Now, what is the one thing you see done incorrectly with asset management or when implementing it, the asset management program?
Well, given how new the standard is here in North America, PAS 55 never really took off here. ISO 55000 is just too new. Very few people have actually implemented it so far. So, and to be honest, I haven't seen one firsthand. So it's hard to say what's the big thing that they're doing incorrectly. But I do know of a number of implementations and problems that were run into. And I think the big problems that people ran into early on with PAS 55, because we could probably draw from that experience, had to do with documentation, keeping it accurate, up to date, and shared, and the same version everywhere where it's needed, and the collaboration between departments, the integration of processes, the very thing I was just talking about that requires a multidisciplinary approach. I think another big mistake people make is to think that an asset management system is an IT system. It's not.
No, it supports the asset management program, but it is not the program itself.
Absolutely. And for the software vendors that might be listening to this, no, you can't get your IT system certified to ISO 55001.
So change management is obviously a huge piece of asset management. They almost go hand in hand when you're implementing,
yes,
and then when you're running that. That's a major opportunity for organizations looking to implement asset management, is make sure you got a really good change program in place and you got change leaders who understand how to guide that.
Right. I was going to say, you definitely need change management. I personally believe it needs to be built right into the program. So whatever you're doing technically needs to have an element of change management just blended right in with it. Change management isn't a project on its own, separate or in running in parallel with asset management. And I've been involved in projects where change management actually had its own little group of people, usually led by somebody from HR, and it just doesn't work. You need to build it right into the very fiber of what you're doing. You know, it comes in the form of training, education, communication, but all that has to be done by the people who are actually doing the work, not by some separate group that sits off to the side and sort of lives in parallel to the project, but having no responsibility for its outcomes.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. The more integration, the more cross-functional, cross-expertise we can get in, the higher chance of success.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com.
Now, what is the one thing you would change when you hear maintenance reliability professionals talking about starting the asset management journey?
I'd change their language. And I don't mean from English to French or vice versa. What I mean is learn to speak financial talk. You're going to have to get the full support of your financial people in this, and largely because they have a huge amount of influence on how the operation runs. Whether you're the COO lives with, to some degree, in fear of decisions that come out of the CFO. So he's probably the most powerful individual in the company next to the CEO. And in fact, his job is to advise the CEO on decisions that ought to be made over corporate direction. So you got to learn that language. And I'm not talking about learning accounting speak. I'm talking about learning finance speak. There's a difference here. Accountants, in my opinion, just keep score. All right. So they're playing in a game and their job is to keep tabs on all the pennies and dollars that are moving around. So they keep score. The finance guy, though, he's different. He doesn't keep score. He changes the game. And to me, that's a far more important role. It's a far more strategic role that the CFO plays. And the finance people are the ones who I think can be the probably your number one ally in terms of moving asset management forward as a movement, if you will, within an organization, because they're the ones that are going to see very quickly the benefits of it. You know, the benefit of higher reliability, more productive capacity, more stable operations, fewer incidents, fewer accidents. They're going to see that very quickly. And, you know, I found that in my conversations with financial people that they get this, and they get it much better than you might expect them to. You know, they don't care about the details of how you do it so much, but they're very concerned with the outputs. And if you talk to them in terms of those outputs and keep it simple, keep it business-like, you'll have a strong ally there. In fact, I was invited to do an asset management assessment at a major healthcare facility, and it was the CFO that brought me in to do it because he was looking strategically at where the organization needed to go. And he could see problems in what they were doing with their assets and, you know, always playing catch up when something went wrong. And he wanted to change that.
And to me, that's a progressive organization that's moving in the right direction.
Absolutely. And I think we need to get them on side. So the first thing that I would change in the maintenance and reliability guy is the ability to speak with them fluently.
Yep. So I'm going to guess that's the one action you would tell our maintenance and reliability professionals to do, is go learn financial speak. You don't have to become an expert in finance, but you have to have an understanding of the terms, the meanings, and be able to have that conversation.
Well, you obviously think a bit like me, James. My first thought on that one was get them to listen to this recording.
that's the plan. So with that, where can people find out more about you, the events you're participating in, your books, and more about asset management in general?
There's quite a bit of information contained on my website, www.consciousasset.com. And there's my blog. There's a number of ebooks that I've written that are up there that can be acquired. So there's quite a bit of information there. I'm actually working on a new book on reliability-centered maintenance with a colleague, Jesus Cifonte, down in Puerto Rico, where we're bringing a book out on RCM Reengineered, which will be published later this year or very early in 2017. So that's coming up. Watch for that. There's a couple of speaking events, or actually a few speaking events I've got coming up. In Toronto this year in late September, the 19th to the 20th, we've got the Main Train Conference, which PMAC puts on every year. I'm actually doing a one-day workshop on asset management fundamentals at that conference. And I expect that material that I use will form part of the asset management certification program material that the PMAC is putting in place now. At least I hope it does. I'm also doing a keynote speech there, which I think will be interesting. I'm going to challenge people a little bit in that one. I won't say more about it. In the following week, I'm down in Monterrey, Mexico, at the Congreso Mexicano de Confiabilidad y Mantenimiento. And I'll probably have somebody who speaks Spanish correct me on my accent there. But that conference in Monterrey, I'm doing a two-day workshop on uptime and also the first presentation of that new RCM method. And there's websites for those, by the way. Main Train is www.maintrain.ca, and the Mexican conference is cmcm.com.mx. And the last one is a reliability masterclass that I'm doing in San Juan, Puerto Rico in early October. And I'll be talking on RCM, its history, and the fit of RCM within asset management, how those two work together. So that'll be, I think, interesting. And again, another talk with my co-author on our new RCM method. And the website for that one is reliabilitymasterclass.com. So
it sounds like you're busy in asset management and RCM, and you're doing a lot right now. And that's great.
I am.
And I'll be sure to include the links to all these books and conferences and your guide to ISO 55000 in the show notes of the podcast, so everyone be able access to them.
Fantastic. Well, thank you.
Well, James, I want to take a second just to thank you for, providing your time and your expertise to the audience here. I'm sure, like myself, everyone's going to take away a tremendous amount of knowledge and information, and it's up to us to start acting upon that.
Well, you're more than welcome. It's been a pleasure to be here with you, to have this opportunity to reach your audience as well. And I certainly hope people pay attention to it and check out some of the links that you're going to have online and do their research, learn the new language, and basically up their game.
Absolutely. Once again, thanks, James, and you have a great night.
Thank you very much. You take care, James.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.